some appreciation for our worship team. That last song, Hannah, was awesome. I like the first one that Josh Turner sang, too. We have our own version of Josh Turner here. Y'all heard him? But that, when you said, say he loves me, that was really great. Except that the words don't come out very good. He loves Hannah. Oh, how he loves Hannah. I tried it, but it... Just playing with you, baby. Well, tonight I'm going to talk to you about prayer. About prayer as a lifestyle. And most of the church talks about prayer and does very little of it. But I had a little discussion with one of the brothers here just before we began our service here tonight. He said he'd been praying for me today. And I said, I need people to pray for me. If Paul said pray for me, holler saying pray for me. Pray for all those who work in the ministry, because the attacks that come against those who minister the gospel are enormous. I've been knocked down so many times, I don't even know how many it's been. But I'm like Paul said, I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Right. Praise God. Amen. And it ain't over until you stop getting up. Right. Anybody here been knocked down? Yes. It'll never be over until you stop getting up. You got to keep getting up. Right. You get up by faith and walk on again. You think when you get knocked down, sometimes you get hit so hard you think, I can't recover. But you can. You can. You can. If you know anything about prayer, you can. Because prayer is a tool used to deliver your faith to God. Amen. And listen, one thing I'm going to teach you tonight is you cannot pray for more faith and be very effective. Boy, that went over like a Hitler speech, didn't it? At a Jewish convention. No, praying for faith doesn't really work. Here's why. Faith does not come by praying. Faith comes by hearing the word. Prayer is what does not make faith work. Faith is what makes prayer work. So faith must be engaged when you pray. If you say, Lord, I'm praying for faith, that tells the Lord right there you have no faith to pray about it. You understand? Praying for faith is wasted time, I believe. I'm going to teach you what the Bible teaches about this. There's nobody in the Bible ever prayed for faith that got it. In Mark chapter 9, some of them said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith, he didn't increase their faith. He told them how to get faith. He told them how to increase their faith. And you all are here tonight to increase your faith. You're here to increase your faith. How many of you think you could increase your faith a little bit? Amen. You're in the right place. You get your faith big, get your heart big, then your prayers start working. Amen. They start working. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's turn there. 1 Timothy 2:1. Spit it out. Try that. Spit it out. Anybody's had children knows how to say that. Spit that out. Spit it out right now. We don't eat cockroaches in this house every day. Well, I got to spit it out for you right here. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men. Giving of thanks be made for all men. He's talking about four kinds of prayer. Supplication, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving, S-P-I-T. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. Now, I need to tell you this too, that meditation is not prayer. I don't mean to be iconoclastic tonight. That means breaking icons. But I have to be a little bit, because our prayer life in the church is so weak because of the things we've been taught and things we've not been taught. Just like what I told you, we pray for faith all the time, which doesn't work. You know it doesn't work. You tried it and it didn't work. Come on, you tried it and it didn't work. It doesn't work. Faith doesn't come that way. Faith comes by listening to the Word and hearing the Word. Just comes one way, doesn't come. God wouldn't make something so important, the receiving of our faith. He would not make that complicated, because He wants 3 and 4 year old children to understand it and be able to receive it. It's not going to be 10 steps, not going to be 17 steps to success. It's going to be one thing. What's the one thing that you must have to have faith? You got to have the Word working in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just one thing. Yes. And anybody then can have faith, who will hear the Word of God and receive it. See, your faith's rising right now because you know you're getting the Word of God sown into your heart right now, and now your prayers are going to be stronger than they ever were before. My job as a minister of the gospel, if I'm not winning somebody to Jesus, and I'm guessing I've won a few people under this tent to the Lord, but most of the people that come here are saved, are ready to go to heaven. You just need some training on how to go out there and get those people that didn't come tonight. And one of the things I want to do is help God's people be a success in their Christian life. Are you hearing me? Prayer is a marvelous tool, if not the greatest tool that God ever gave us for changing the world. Prayer will carry your faith. It's a vehicle to carry your faith to God. When you speak to God in faith, you're going to change things. And listen to this. I went to a prayer meeting one time with a friend of mine who said, "John, you need to come go with me to this prayer meeting." I said, "Why?" He said, "I think you'll enjoy it." I said, "Do you really think I'll enjoy it, or do you think I'll be critical?" He said, "I think you'll be critical and enjoy it." I said, "Okay, I'll go." I went to this prayer meeting. It was a church he was attending. It was a Wednesday night prayer service, they call it. And somebody stood at the front of the building, front of the audience, and read off a lousy litany of long troubles that people have had and had in that church. Sister so-and-so was down and out, and Brother Smell Fungus had the fungus, and Brother, Sister Better knew too much. I mean, it was just went on and on and on and on and on. All the things, all the prayers and needs that there were. And the pastor then said, now let's pray. So I was standing there, and they all started getting on their knees. All over the building, they got on their knees. So I got down on my knees, and I waited for him to lead us in prayer. Waited to hear some mumbling, some something from somebody. And there was nothing. Yeah, so I tried to pray that silent prayer. And all I could think about is all these bad stuff that was going on in their lives. The answer never came to me. It was just how bad they were, how bad off they all were. I spent the next 5 minutes meditating on these people's problems as though that was supposed to help them. And I realized that you cannot control your thoughts. Listen to me. You cannot control your thoughts without using your mouth. Hannah, can you tell me about your first? I hate asking a ranch girl about her first doll, because she's probably going to say it was G.I. Joe. Well, can you remember your first doll? You don't. Your first Jeep? First pickup truck? You do? Can you just describe it to me? Your first vehicle of any kind you got? Tell me about it.
I was driving, or the one
that was yours?
Yeah, I had a 96 Camaro.
96 Camaro. There we go. What color was it?
Red.
Are you seeing that car right now? Yeah, you're looking at it, aren't you?
Yes,
I just controlled your thoughts. I took you back to that 96 red Camaro. You controlled your thoughts by speaking about it. There's a fact of our makeup, of our physiology and our psychology that we can think about anything we want to while somebody else is talking, like some of y'all are doing right now. But you cannot, it's impossible for you to think about something and talk about something else. Your mind must follow what you talk about.
That's really good.
Did you know that? Whatever you're talking about, your mind is on it. Now, the person listening to you may be thinking about anything. That's why in education we say there's a vast difference. We're trying to close the gap all the time. I'm always trying to close the differential gap between learning and teaching. Because the teacher that thinks that the learning is at the same level as the teaching is a fool. Because students can listen, can think about anything while they're listening to something else. That's why the Bible doesn't say meditate on your troubles.
Come on, that's right.
Now there is a place for meditation. There is a place for meditation. There is a place to sit around and meditate on the Word of God and on the things of God. But prayer is vocal. And if you're taking any notes or thinking about remembering this, remember this one thing. Prayer is vocal. That's why we said spit it out. And I love the way the King James Bible has this listed here. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. Spit. Spit it out. The first thing you need to know about prayer is it is vocal. You need to learn to use your mouth and talk to God. Amen.
Amen.
That was worth coming to church for. You want to pass the buckets again one more time? That was really good. Prayer is not meditation. There's a time for meditation. There is a time for meditation. And most of us don't do enough of it, but prayer is not meditation. Prayer is speech made to God. Come on, say, spit it out.
Spit it out.
Amen. Let's talk about these four items. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about these four items, and then we're going to pray tonight. I run a pack of prophets. My best friend in the world is a prophet. If you have a choice,
that's right.
Don't pick a prophet as your best friend. Right when you're having fun, he'll make your life miserable. Right when you're right in the middle of some fun, he'll make your life totally unbearable. He's here tonight. Probably should have counted the cost on that statement, but I'm going to have him come and minister to you for a few minutes at the end of this.
Amen.
But if you have Mark 11, 20, you do have the computer, Mark 11, 20, 23 and 24. Mark 11, 23 and 24. One day I was preaching on this in a place called San Angelo, Texas. I don't know if y'all know where that is. I know my Abilene friends do. We play football. Well, Abilene plays football. We just show up. Mark 11, 23. And for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, what's the emphasis on here? The emphasis on what you say. And look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I was preaching on this one time, as I said, in San Angelo, Texas, and a woman came up to me after the service. I had an altar call, and there were people that answered the altar call, got saved, some of them healed, and other good things happening. After that was all over with, a lady comes down the aisle. She's doing this to me, walking down the aisle. She says, come here. And she looks mad. And she'd been crying for the whole hour and a half of the service, but mostly during my preaching, she would cry all the way through the service. She was blonde, and so her face was really chapped from just tears, just wiping her tears the whole time. I was kind of afraid, to be honest. I knew her, known her for a few years. She'd been in our church for a number of years, 4 or 5 years, and she walked down there and said, "Come here." And I went down there, and I said, "What can I do for you?" She said, "Nothing. I just came to tell you that I got it. I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it." I said, "What you got?" She said, "The doctors have told me, the last time I went to the doctor, he said, don't come back to me pregnant again because I will not be your doctor." She'd had 4 miscarriages. And the doctor said, "You cannot carry babies. Stop this. You're ruining your health. Besides what you're doing to these embryos, it's just not right." He was a pro-life guy. He said, "Just don't come back to me if you're going to do this anymore. I'm through. And you should be too." She was so heartbroken. Heartbroken. But that day when she wasn't heartbroken, she was just mad. And I said, I didn't say anything. I just stood there, and she said, "But that ends today." She said, "I beg God, I beg God, I beg God." Over and over. I pleaded with him, asked him to do something for my condition. And nothing happened. Okay? Like that was my fault. That's how it felt. She said, "But that ends today. What I got, Pastor John, was that from now on, I will never again talk to my God about how big my mountain is." She heard this word. "From this day forward, I'm going to talk to my mountain about how big my God is." And I'm telling you, it was 10, 11 months later, she walked into that church. I'm telling you, my Boy Scout pledge here, my hand up. She walked into that church carrying a little blonde baby that looked just like her. A couple of years later, she walked in with another one. A year and a half later, she walked in with another one. Amen. 2 years later, she walked in with another one. She had 4 girls, one right up to the other. And God gave her a cherry on top. She finally got a boy. Something worth something worth keeping, you know what I mean? That's just a little joke. A little tiny joke. Amen. God restored her completely. He gave her back everything that had been stolen from her. But she didn't get it by begging God. She got it by talking to the mountain, acting like she knew God. Amen. Supplications. That's prayer for your supply. The word is in there. Listen to me. What a supplication is not about weeping and crying. "Oh, I bring my supplication, Lord." No, you got to get straight what the prayer means. It's just talking to God about what you need. It's really a prayer for your own supply. Supplication. That's all it means. It's simple. That's what it means in the Greek. That's its core definition. Just pray about what you need. Jesus taught us to pray. But it's not a full New Testament prayer because remember, he had not yet died and risen when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, the so-called Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. Because he didn't attach, and you got to say, "in Jesus' name" to this prayer. He didn't have that. Now, we always pray in Jesus' name now, right? But he didn't teach them that when he taught them the Lord's Prayer. But there's a wonderful pattern that he did lay out for prayer. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So you take a little shout for praise just after you get started. You call God your Father. You praise him a little while. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So now we're going to talk about what he wants to talk about. Amen. He wants to talk about his kingdom in the earth. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk to him about that for a little while. Show him that we're big people. We're trying to grow up anyway. Amen. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And if the will of God is being done in heaven, how many sick folk are there? Amen. Does anybody there need a chiropractor?
No.
Amen. Well, thank God that we got him down here, aren't you? I'm happy. Now, the will of God is for us all to be well and to prosper like they do in heaven. There are no sick folk laying around the streets of heaven. Not one person up there can't pay their bills. They're not wringing their hands going, "Oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. They brought a shipment of gold today and I don't know what to pay it with." What do you pay for gold? Silver? I don't know. Then he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What's the next thing on the list? Wait a minute. I've read the whole prayer, and y'all know what's in there. Somewhere in there it says, forgive us our debts. But it didn't say, forgive us our debts before it says, give us our bread. We are so sin conscious, the way we're taught in the religious world. They always say, hey, you can't come before God with sin in your life. You got to get that sin out of the way before you can pray. That's not what Jesus taught. Amen. He said you can ask for your daily bread before you talk about your sin.
Right.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Oh, it came after asking my Father for stuff. So my relationship isn't broken because I've done something stupid. He's still my Father, and He's still obligated to provide for me, even though I've acted stupidly.
That's right.
Are you hearing me? Now, He wants you to get around to that, talking about that sin, maybe. He may want you to talk about it. He may need to get it out of the way eventually. But He's not shaken up by because you come to Him. Let me tell you something. You don't look all that good at your best. In the natural, I mean, in your flesh. Yeah. None of us look all that good to God in our flesh.
Yeah.
In your inner man, He looks at you and sees you just like Jesus.
Amen.
You can come boldly because you look like Jesus to Him from the inside.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get cleaned up on the outside before you come to God, He really can't tell the difference between the way you think you look and the way you really, really look. From God's perspective, man is just a man. We come with boldness because He said we could come and ask for our stuff. Supply. Our supply is important to us. And the Father knows this, that if you've got a need for supply, it's kind of hard for you to think about anything else until you get that met. That's why He put that early, so you could talk about that and get that off your chest. Now we'll talk about what I want to, about maybe your bad conduct. Now the second thing is prayers. Prayers. I thought He said all this was prayer. All this is prayer. But He mentions prayers in the list. Men pray everywhere, you know, for all men. Then He says supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings. What kind of prayers would this be? I'll tell you what it is. It's the common prayers that they all prayed for that in that day. Churches have common prayers that they pray. Miss Ann's church in Durant has a common prayer that they pray on their way out. It goes something like this. Father, we thank You that You blessed us and are coming in, and we thank You that Your people are blessed and are going out. We thank You that You made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, first, not last, victors, no longer victims. We thank You. Thank You, Father dear, that You cause the mountains and the hills to break forth with singing and the trees of the field to clap their hands as we go forth armed and dangerous in Jesus' name with the Word of God. They pray that prayer every time they go out of the building. Amen. It's a forceful, powerful prayer, and it's common to all of us. And God wants you to pray prayers that are common. That's why Jesus taught His disciples all at the same time to pray the same prayer. You should learn common prayers. But let me give you a clue. As New Testament believers, and there's a big difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament, the blood of Jesus perfected forever those who are being sanctified.
Amen.
Let's put that up on the board. Hebrews 10:14. Darling, I know where it is now. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, He, Jesus, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wow. How long did He perfect you? Forever. I didn't write this. He did. By one sacrifice. Jesus' one sacrifice finished your need to get right every Sunday night. That's how powerful His blood is. It cleansed the whole world from God's perspective. So we pray the kind of prayers that are in the New Covenant, because New Covenant realities are so much higher, so much beyond Old Testament realities. David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart." I never pray that prayer. My prayer is, thanks for the clean heart.
Yes.
I've been perfected forever.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? You can't just open the Old Testament and start praying these Old Testament prayers and think you're doing something.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Open the New Covenant and read the prayers of Paul and Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for the right spirit that you already gave me. It never left me. It came and stayed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't need a new one. I don't need to get saved every 3 days or four.
Amen.
Well, I'm right anyway. I don't care if you don't. Amen. Misty gave me a massage today, and I kind of got a little mood going here. Got a little attitude working on me. Because I'm hurting from my nose to my toes, man. I'm telling you. It's a good kind of hurt, she says. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a great hurt right there. Ah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. I feel better tomorrow? Okay.
Tomorrow.
Pray the prayers of the new covenant. This piece is about you praying what God wants you to pray about. It's about what God wants you to pray about. You get in the new covenant, you find prayers that are wonderful, prayers that Paul prayed. And you pray for your church and for all believers. Paul's example, look at Paul's example. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. We're going to pray this prayer together. Can you put the grown-up version of the Bible up there? Okay. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. My students tell me, well, I don't understand that kind of English. I said, did you ever read Shakespeare? Oh, yeah, I love Shakespeare. Well, shut up. Get a grown-up Bible. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling, here comes his prayer, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, let's read it together, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I highly recommend you pray this prayer. If you don't know what to pray and you get an unction to pray, just open the Bible to Ephesians chapter 3 and read it and pray it. We have a mandate to pray for Israel. Romans chapter 10, Paul's prayer for Israel. He tells you what it is. He didn't lay it out like he did in Ephesians, but he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So he's saying, Father, I want Israel to be saved. Lord, do something to save Israel. I'll do whatever I can, whatever I'm supposed to. But he became an intercessor for Israel. He started praying for Israel's supply and for his own intercessory purposes for them, because they would not listen to him. They hated Paul, stoned him, robbed him, kicked him, beat him. They did everything they could. They wanted him dead because of one thing, his ministry to the catfish eaters, the bacon eaters that are under this tent. He went to the Gentiles, and his Jewish family despised him. He said, Jesus told me to do it. They still hated it. They didn't believe him. Even Christian Jews met him in Jerusalem one time in chapter 21 and 22 of Acts. It said they were all Jews, but James already told us which ones they were. They were going to be there, the believing Jews. They came there and started beating on Paul and tried to kill him before the magistrate came down and delivered him. Listen to me. Religious people can get really mean. Even saved religious people can get really mean over issues that you disagree with them on. And Paul knew he was called to the Gentiles. He knew that this gospel was for the whole world, because Abraham had been justified by faith before he was circumcised.
Yes.
That means he was a Gentile when he was got right with God. Amen. Our message is clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Amen. He can save anybody. He can change anybody. He can change anything. We have seen the Lord just change the rottenest people. I mean, there's some rotten people in this world. And probably you know a few of them. I know some of the rotten people. Anybody know the rotten people? One of them held a knife to my throat one time. And I wanted to slap that little punk. I wanted to slap him so bad. Because back then I could have whipped him. With or without a knife. That's why he equalized the fight with a knife. But I wasn't wanting to fight. I was there to try to help him, love on him, pray for him, bless him, talk to him about the Lord. He put that knife to my throat. Big old long butcher knife like thing. Talking rough to me. And I was walking down the road with him. I'd gone there to try to help his mama settle him down. And he turned on me. And while we're walking down the road, like the gravel road out here, that's where the altercation took place, where he held the knife to my throat. And surprisingly, I wasn't even afraid. Now, you may know this. You may have experienced something like that. If you're under this kind of pressure for the sake of the gospel, you have more peace, and you can explain it later. You cannot tell people how peaceful you were about it. I had more peace than anything. Laying home in my bed with the doors all locked, I never had that much peace as when he had that knife to my throat. It was supernatural. And I just kept talking to him, well, you can kill me, but that's not going to fix your problems. It's just not going to fix your problems. Your problem is a lack of God in your life, and you need Jesus in the most desperate way, boy. About that time, we hear the sirens because his mom had called 911. The cops are on the way. He gets all jittery. He said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm on probation. He just got out of prison. Well, I'm on probation. What am I going to do? I said, give me the knife. He said, give you the knife? I said, well, you can give it to me or explain it to the police. So he handed me the knife. And I took it, and I did something that I probably shouldn't have done, but I did. I threw it as far as I could out into the trees. And the cops came, and he wasn't found with a weapon. But they arrested him anyway and took him to jail just because his mama was mad at him. And he got out a little while later and started coming to church. And one day he walked in my office with his hand like this and laid it on my desk. He said, I need this out of my life, preacher. I got to get rid of this stuff. And he had this rock of white drugs of some kind. And had a pipe. Anybody know what that was? Crack. How do you know what that was? You should know what that was, preacher. It was crack or crank or something like that. Anyway, he said, I got to get this out of my life. I said, why did you bring it in here and get me in complicity with you now? He said, well, I just got to get it out of my life. I need accountability and get it. So I took it and I reported it to a police officer whom I knew, and he didn't prosecute either one of us. he was in the church. The police officer was in the church, and God bless him. I said, what do I do with this? A few weeks later, he came into my office, and I said, what do I do with this? I said, because I will never tell you who it was. He said, oh, I know who it was. It was a huge church. He said, I know who it was. I said, how do you know? He said, I know every person in this church is doing drugs. It's my job to know that even when I'm in church. I said, oh, okay. And then he says, how is Chris? I said, he's better. This leads us to intercessions. The first one is where you pray about your stuff, what you want to pray about. The second one is where you pray about what God wants you to pray about. And this third one, intercession, is what others need you to pray about, what other people need you to pray about. Amen. There are other people that need you.
That's right.
And I want to go to the first mention of the word intercession, Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Talking about Jesus, a prophetic utterance concerning the Lord Jesus. because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He didn't make intercession for the repentant. He made intercession for the transgressors. God demonstrated his love. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was making intercession on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:27, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit makes intercession for us. Now here's Jesus making intercession for us again. Verse 34 in Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So intercession is Jesus' ministry, his present-day ministry, and the Holy Spirit's present-day ministry. The Holy Spirit unctions you, energizes you right now to pray, to work on your heart to pray. And he unctions you. He urges you. He tells you, you need to pray right now. Anybody ever had that unction, that urge? You know what I'm talking about? And you can be reassured that when you do follow that unction, that intercessory unction here, you have another intercessor in glory ready to translate anything you misspeak into the right speech to God. He intercedes on your behalf. He knows the Father better than you do. He knows the Father better than you do. When I was 8 years old, my family, we took the calves to town to sell them. We sold them all. You get a calf crop every year. You don't sell them off. And you guys know all about that. I had a brother who was 6 years older than me. So he was 14, not quite 14 when this happened. Cause my birthday was before his. And we had money because we just sold calves. And I had a calf that I had sold. And my brother had several. And my dad had the rest of them. And my brother came over to me. We're at the Montgomery Ward store on the southwest corner of the square in Gainesville, Texas. I don't know if any of you know about Gainesville, Texas. And the Montgomery Ward store used to not be a catalog store. It used to be a real store. My mama said, James, you're going to buy me a deep freeze. I want a big old chest type deep freeze because we're going to kill a calf and put one in that deep freeze so we'll have food all winter. So Daddy said, okay. Sybil was one of those women that when she said she was going to have it, she got it. I'm being redundant. All women are like that, brother. Yeah, I don't know how long you've been married, but you need to know that. Case. So we got to the deep freeze, but my brother came up to me. He's 13, 14. He comes up and says, John, look down there and hanging on that wall. He said, look. I said, what? He said, that guitar down there. It's a wooden guitar with metal strings. I had a plastic one, but when you played it, it sounded like, that's what it sounded like. If it was tuned well. What it sounded like. It was terrible. I didn't know anything about playing the guitar, but I had good rhythm, they told me. My mother played the piano, and I'd stand there beside her playing my little Roy Rogers guitar, you know, plunk, 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 plunk. And my brother, they all knew I was supposed to play the guitar for some reason. My brother came over there, and he said, John, don't you want that guitar down there hanging on the wall? I said, yeah, but I don't have the money. How much is it? He said, $26. Oh, that's too much money. Daddy won't let me spend that on the guitar. He said, well, your birthday's coming up in a few days. Why don't you tell him you want that guitar for your birthday? Ask him to get that guitar for you for your birthday. And I said, no, I can't do that. He said, that's a horsey. I'd have you come up here and help me, baby, but you don't know where I'm going with this sermon. He said, you want me to ask him? Now, a 13-year-old boy, now get this, 13-year-old boy asking his 8-year-old brother, 7-year-old brother, really, if he wanted him to ask him for something, ask his daddy for something. I thought, why would he do that? He said, you want me to ask him? I said, would you? He said, yeah, I'll ask him for you. So, I need a big guy. Who's a big guy? Come over here, boy. Stand right here. Stand right in front of me and walk that direction. Turn around. Now walk that. Oh, come back here. Don't run off and leave me. Now right foot. I was walking down just like this. I was right up behind him. I didn't want Daddy to see me. My brother walked up there and said, Daddy, see that guitar down there on the wall? It's a wooden guitar and got real strings. I mean, it's a real guitar. You need to buy that for John. Daddy looked around behind him and saw me. Batted my eyes and he said, would you like to have that guitar, John? I said, I think so. Let's go look at it. And I knew when he said, let's go look at it, there was a chance I was getting that guitar. And that day I got my first guitar because I had an elder brother who knew my father better than I did. Amen. Your stuff is waiting on you. Your elder brother's right there in heaven right now talking to the Father for you. Saying, why don't you give John that thing? Why don't you give John that thing? He's interceding on our behalf, praise God. Amen. And when that elder brother started interceding for me, I got all kinds of guitars. I'm almost done. Plain and simple, when you pray for someone else, you are interceding. This is a very holy exercise. And the last thing is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Come here, little girl. Come here to me. Yes, you. Hey, son, I need you to hold this microphone for me now. If you can. Kind of hold it pretty close to my mouth. Come here, baby girl. What's your name?
Lydia.
Stand over here, Lydia, opposite me. Now, Lydia, your daddy and mom are sitting right over there. And they trust me. But I need you to follow me. I need you to do what I tell you to do. Okay? Will you? Lydia, I want you to ask me to give you $20. All right, let me make it this way. Why don't I say, Lydia, I'm going to give you $20. Before you leave this tent tonight, I'm going to lay a $20 bill in your hand. Would you thank me for it before I give it to you? You would? You would thank me before I give it to you? All right. I'm waiting.
Thank you.
Thank me for what?
The $20.
There's the $20 right there. You just thank me for it. Oh, I've changed my mind. What's wrong with y'all? Is something wrong with me?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm evil now?
Yeah.
I'm evil now because I won't give her the $20?
Yeah.
Why? Because I owe it to her.
That's right.
Because I made a promise and she thanked me in advance, so she gets the $20 from a good man. Amen. Is that good? All right, can I have a hug? Thank you, sweetheart. All right. Now listen to me. Thank you, brother. Every day in America, people have the idea that God can make promises and not come through. That he can just change his mind. And this is why the world rejects him so often, because that's evil, and you know it is. You saw evil right in front of you when I said, I'm not going to give you the money even though you thank me. Yeah. You shamed me into giving her that $20. Amen. This is how you get from God. You thank him without seeing it, and you will see it.
Yes.
Thank him. Open your mouth and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for the promises. Let's do it right now. Why don't you thank him for something you already prayed for? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, when you pray for something, you believe you receive it, and you spend the rest of the time praying about it by thanking God that you receive it. Every day until it comes, give him thanks for the thing you need. S-P-I-T, supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. That's supplication, is the prayers for yourself. Prayers are the things that God wants you to pray about. Intercessions, praying for others, and thanksgiving is for all of it. You thank him in advance. Use your faith. This is how you release your faith, by thanking him without seeing it. Praise God, and you shall have it. Pastor Terry Sparks, I want you to come up here, brother. Amen. Can I help you? Come on, let's shout it out. Spit it out!
Spit it out!
Praise God. Pray a little while and prophesy whatever comes to your heart.
Nothing like being put on the spot. I can sing and I can dance, but ultimately you don't assume me to either one. Amen. I'm going to talk a lot to you about, I think I'm preaching tomorrow night. They saved the best for last. And I'm going to have come a long way to beat that, because that was really good. Miss Ann did a great job too, man. Oh, my Lord Jesus. And we play a lot with one another because we're good friends. But I can tell you this, we've been to hell and back, both of us have. We went through things we can't talk about. Things that if we told you, you wouldn't believe. We got spiritual scars all over us. We see, and you know what? We're not here by ourselves. You got some too. The enemy hates us. He hates us. He fights against us. He comes against us. I just got back from Africa. And I'm a white man with a chocolate center. I am. I love Africa. I love Africans, and I love Latin America. I go to Latin America a lot. And I can tell you, wherever I go, I see signs, wonders, and miracles. What's up with us? What's up with us? The same faith that's upon them is on us. Your faith's been built tonight, hasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So what we do is sometimes we challenge our faith. It's always good to challenge our faith. So if you're in pain in your body, why don't you stand up right wherever you're at? If you're pain in your body. Anybody? Yeah? Yeah? Come on. Pain. Yeah? I mean, if you're in pain in your body. Now, then the beauty of it is that what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to just make your way up here, and we're going to pray for you. Just come on. We're going to pray for you. Now, I want those that are in pain here only. The beauty of it is we're going to believe God. Now then, my Lord Jesus, I didn't know I was going to have a marathon here. That's, now, first of all, you have to see and understand that it's not God's will for you to hurt. It's not God's will for you to hurt. It's not. Now, if I got everybody here, you sir, you ma'am, you sir, right here, come on. Get up here. Get it up here. And You ride too many horses. So, So we'll just call you Click for short. So the idea is this, is what I found out, is that God is merciful and kind. And when we challenge Him, and we absolutely put Him on the plate, they said, Lord, we're believing that You're going to do something. Now, what I'm going to do is I want Miss Ann, I want my wife to come up here. And I want Christine to come up here. I want Dylan to come up here. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you guys. Now, what's wrong with you, sir? What do you hurt?
My lower back.
Oh, those are easy.
Spinal stenosis.
Spinal?
Besides, I lost my voice.
Is your wife happy?
He lost his voice.
He lost his voice. His wife's happy. All right. So what we do is we challenge the Lord in this. And what we're going to do is we're going to come through. And I'm going to ask each one. So you need back. What do you need?
I have carpal tunnel on both hands.
Right, you had it.
I had it. Yeah.
Amen. All right. Could do you like to type?
I don't type. I don't even know.
You don't. You don't even know where it came from.
I don't even know how I got it.
Wow. Must be from the devil. Yeah. What's up with you, dear?
I have a hip that is sore and hurts.
Okay. All right. We're gonna do this. What's up with you?
My right hip and my left shoulder.
Wow. Need these hips problems. We got a lot of butt problems. All right.
I have a breast issue.
All right. If it's personal, you don't have to say anything. If it's personal, you don't have to say a thing. All right. Don't get that near my hair. I don't want my hair catching on fire. No, my hair, not yours. You don't care about it. You're going down, bro. All right. So what's up with you?
My back hurts.
Your back. All right. And what's up with you?
Implants hurts.
What?
Implants.
Okay, all right.
My hands.
Your hands. Wow, what's up with those?
I don't know.
No? All right, and you, sir?
Back and neck,
all right. Now, what we want to do is I'd like my church leaders and Pastor Monty, I'd like you to come up here. And I want us to, and let's, I really honestly believe, I go places and I see 100% healing. I ministered to a man in Africa. He walked up. He looked like he deserved a cane. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was old, and he came up there like this. And I thought, Lord Jesus, I just called this guy up here. He's old. He's decrepit. And I said, now, then, what are you going to do? Well, you know what I did? I didn't know any sense, but I just reached out and grabbed hold of his cane. I said, now, then, God's going to heal you. And you know what God did? I saw him walking down the road, going home without his cane. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we get stuck sometimes, we think that God can't. I was healed of congestive heart failure.
Amen.
I was dying. But what I found out was is that it was not my time and it's not your time. See, God needs his people at 100% peak. He needs you operating. He doesn't need you hurting. He wants you healed in Jesus' name. And what we're going to do is we're going to release our faith and we're going to see tremendous healing. Now it says, well, what happens if you pray and they don't get healed? Well, what if you pray and they do get healed? Why in the world we got to look at it that way? Why is it we get spooky and scared when we go to pray for someone? Well, we need a manifestation. Well, we get the manifestation.
Amen.
I started, when they found out that I had congestive heart failure, I declared I was healed, and 4 months later, or 5 months later, I was totally healed.
Amen.
So the way you get this is when we lay hands on you, you receive your healing. And when you receive your healing, it doesn't matter. Listen, it's instantaneous. It's instantaneous. Well, what does that have anything to do with it? My wife, she'd look at me, you know, she's concerned about me when I was going through all that stuff. She'd look at me and say, how do you feel? I said, with my hands.
That's right.
Why? Why do I say with my hands? Because what does it matter how I feel? The Word of God has said I'm healed.
Amen.
He was beaten. He was beaten. Why in the world would I allow pain to make a mockery of what Christ has done for me and the price that he paid?
Yeah.
That's right.
It's yours. It belongs to you. It's a gift. It's a children's bread. Something that says, and what we do is we're just going to come along here and we're going to boost you a little bit. We're going to go, we're just like running your cart further down the road than it's supposed to go. And we believe that God's going to really minister to you. And I got some serious, we got everybody here praying that wants to pray. All right. And what we're going to do is we're going to get around and we're going to just believe God. Now, I need you guys out there. You're not spectators because you got family out here that's in pain. Now, would you go see somebody at the hospital if they were hurting? Would you actually you drive there, get out of the car, go there, and maybe even take them on a plant? Now, here we got people that are hurting. Now, we don't be that kind of spectator, suspect, say, okay, we'll watch to see how this works. No, we're going to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because we've had the word of God preached. Now it's time for signs to follow.
Amen. That's right.
All right. All right. Amen. So are you energetically enthused, full of faith? Amen. 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 So we're going to pray. Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Well, all you got to do is just receive. Just sit back and just, you don't have to do one thing. Let us do this for you. In Jesus' name, we command this pain to leave this back in Jesus' name. And Father, for this throat to be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hold on just a minute here. Now let's just hold on here. Let the Holy Ghost move. Right here. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you. Now I want you to just move a little bit. Move a little bit. How you feel?
A lot better.
A lot's not good enough. I want it totally gone.
Yes. Amen.
I want every tinge of it gone. Father, in Jesus' name, you're the healer here, Lord. We complete what you started. Complete.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, now then, come on, we'll just, hold on, just.
Thank you.
Oh, hold on just a minute, hold it.
Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Now, how you feel now? Totally gone. Now, you're not lying to me. Don't lie to a man of God.
Twist way over here, there is a little bit.
Well, good God, man, you could swing from a chandelier and hurt too. All right. All right. Now, what you going to do is you're going to sit over here. Now then. So you've had healing in your body, right?
Amen.
You got faith, right?
Yes.
Now. Your voice is coming back. Now we're going to pray for this lady. You're going to help me here. And these other people are going, all right. How old are you, honey? Is that in my business?
I'm 37.
37. Well, you look like you're 27. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hold on. Now see, the beauty of this is when all you have to do is just know the healing's working.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit of the living God. There, right there. Just let's hold on just a minute, folks. Let's stop our outward praying here just a moment. There we go. What's going on? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I command every bit of pain to go now. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Now, moving around a little bit.
still has a little bit right there.
A little bit right there. But, all right, where they were, how much improvement?
A lot.
How much? Give me a percentage. You're percentage girls. You like numbers. Come on. 89% better. 89% better. Now, then this is what we're going to do. Yeah. Hold this. Listen, hold on. The Spirit of God is going to stretch you, honey.
Yes, yes.
The Spirit of God is going to stretch you in a way that you've not been stretched before. You got a big heart, but yet there's been this fear and intimidation that's held you back. There's been some things. There's been fear. There's been fear that's lurking back in the background of your life, and actually it has resulted in you being pulled back, intimidation, not allowing yourself to move forward. You're brilliant. You're highly skilled. You could do anything you decided that you wanted to do, but there'd been this kind of fear and intimidation. Actually, there's been a fear of man. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I break that off her life in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, I'm asking you to fill her with your power and your presence.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
The reason why there's been so much opposition against you because there's so much gifting.
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
That's right.
You thought it's just been about you, about all your personal stuff. There's
Thank
tremendous
you,
gifting in you.
Amen.
I stir the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
There you go. Just let that go. Every bit of it. Go.
Thank
go.
Yes.
All that. All that. Honey, you've tried to perform, you've tried to do stuff, you've tried to do things, and you know what? You're tired.
Thank you.
And you know, this is the beauty of it is, you're going to be empowered by the Holy Ghost now with
boldness.
Thank
you, Father.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Oh!
Thank you, Jesus.